Here it is, another episode of the Infinite Banter Podcast. What is going on? This is Mark Jolliffe, also known as DJ Soundwave. Big up for checking out the show. As always, I appreciate everybody who's been checking it out, listening, retweeting, reposting, listening, telling people, bothering people, whatever you do. I appreciate you. Big up to all of you for checking out this episode right here. And we've got a big one. We got my guy Dagga coming back. He was on episode 76, if you go back. You want to check out that episode also after we play this one. Real fun talking with him. His album last year, DA to the G, was one of my favorite albums of 2021. And he's back with a new one. This new one is called Black Flowers, and cannot wait to bring him on, talk about that album and much, much more. And I'm not as stressed as I was in the last episode because, if you remember, I'm a baseball fan, specifically a Cubs fan, and the trade deadline came and went, and my team did not get rid of the two players they stressed me out for 2 weeks about. So, all that for nothing. Thanks. Thanks, team. It was a lot of wasted emotions. Good God. They had the players, like, hugging and crying and talking and how they can't believe they're leaving and they don't want to leave, and then they didn't. What the hell's happening? Sports. That's all I got to say. It's just sports. All right, before we get into this episode, as we always do, we go backwards. We check out the last episode. Here's a quick clip. My guy Cretona P was on to talk about his new album with Manzoo Beats called Killer Instinct, the movie. And there's a part on the album where there's a song that's done in Spanish. And I had to ask him, like, man, how'd you flip it like that? What made you do a whole song in Spanish? Well, he's going to explain to you right here. And when you hear this, it should hopefully entice you to go back and hear that whole episode. Cretona P is a really good dude, and that album is just straight fire. So here we go. Flashback time on Infinite Banter. Going back to the last episode, here's Cretona P talking about doing his Latin lingo on his new album, Killer Instinct, the movie with Manzoo Beats, here on the Infinite Banter Podcast.
I like when they rap in Spanish, like, and because they got boom bap rappers in Spanish too. So when I hear them rap, I'm like, yeah, this is dope. Like, I like it. So I always heard it, and I grew up in a Spanish speaking family. I always spoke Spanish with my mom. Made me go to church when I was like a child, or whatever, to my youth, to my teens, and everything. So I basically like had to learn Spanish to give like sermons and different stuff like that I was doing in church. So you know what I mean? Like my Spanish is pretty fluent. So I knew I could do it. My girl was always asking me to do one, but I never really wanted to go there.
Big up to Cretona P. Like I said, go back and check out that episode and make sure you follow him online and check out what he's doing. Killer Instinct, the movie with Manzoo Beats, is a straight banger. Everybody needs to go check that out. And be on the lookout for a new Three Kings with Manzoo Beats, my man DBTZ, M. Doc Diego, and Cretona P. Definitely on the lookout for that one. I need to get on my Spanish. I need to get, what's it called? That Rosetta Stone or whatever, so I can get my Spanish back up. I remember I took 2 years in high school, and I thought I knew Spanish. And then a couple of years passed, I started forgetting all the words, and now I know, like, you know, minimal amounts. So it was hard to know what he was talking about in that song, but it doesn't matter. It's a banger nonetheless. Like I said in the interview with him last week, I think I got 12 words out of there. So I definitely got the gist of it, but definitely check out that album and check out that episode. Today's episode, we got the one and only Dagga in the building. He's been on the show before, and I saw he had a new album out. I reached out. I'm like, man, you got to come on and talk about this Black Flowers. This is something that really needs to be talked about, and I need to help promote it on here. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Dagga's here to talk about Black Flowers. We're going to talk about a lot more than just the album. Really cool because his whole family is involved with this project. I mean, his daughters are on it. His wife is on it. His daughter did the cover art. It's just crazy to think about. And at the end of this episode, I'll talk about which movie I have found to watch for the Infinite Torture segment, which will be talked about on a future episode. And I know I keep teasing at the 10 songs I hate thing. It's a lot harder than I thought. I'm having a hard time coming up with this list, so I need a little more time. Maybe another couple episodes I'll knock that out. But anybody who cares about that, it'll be coming. Just hang on. But this is the Infinite Banter. Oh, by the way, and I almost forgot, I'm going to take a small dump on Lollapalooza, just a little one, just at the end. I'm not going to do it here. If you sit through all of the interview and everything, you get past all that, there's a small treat of Lollapalooza nugget at the end of the episode, so stay tuned for that. But this is the Infinite Banter Podcast. What we do here is we have guests on to talk about their albums, or we might have a wrestler on here, might have an actor from a show, might have I don't know, whatever, somebody. Somebody did something. We'll be on here to talk about something. In today's episode is Dagga, talk about his new album, Black Flowers. And this podcast can be found on all streaming platforms. Follow on social media at Infinite Banter Podcast. Rate and review the show on Good Pods, Podchaser, Apple Podcasts. Just about every streaming platform has a rate aspect to it. So go do that. Help me get this show higher up on the charts. Why am I talking like a robot? I don't know. And also, check out the Spotify playlist. Listen to the show in all those places like Spotify, CastBox. It's on Amazon. Places, and it's free. All these places are free. You're not paying a dime to listen to it. So this is all free material for you. And go on YouTube. There's clips I put up there from past guests, things of that nature. All right, let's get right into it. Dagga's here. We're going to talk about his new album, Black Flowers. But before we do that, we always kick off the show when the one and only Daryl McDaniels, DMC, he jumps on and he has some words for you, just so you know what you're listening to.
Yo, yo, what's up? This is me, DMC, the K-I-N-G, the greatest MC in history. And right now, you're listening to Infinite Banter, because we will banter on forever, because this is the only place for all of y'all to ever be. I be Infinite Banter.
And you know how we do on here, before we talk to a musical guest, we play a song from their album. And I'm going to hit you with the song that really is like my favorite on this album and is a video for it and everything. This right here, this should get you hyped. This is Black Flowers, the title track from Black Flowers from Dagga. And this right here, just if you're a straight hip hop head like me, this right here will speak to you. This is a great track. We talk about it in the interview, but go ahead and listen to this. And on the other side of this, we'll talk to Dagga about this song, this album, and much, much more. So here we go, Black Flowers from the album Black Flowers. This is Dagga, and make sure you check out this video as well here on the Infinite Banter Podcast. Let's go.
Half of me love my curry chicken roti. The other half of me don't put up with no baloney. I've been paying dues since paying dues is phony. Sweatsuit for love, bucket hats and Saucony's. Did a little jet, but I did it on my lonely. Tap the bottle top, pour some out for my homies. This is a spoken word, listen to the testimony. Mask off, NHL surprise, a black goalie. Devise a fat roly, start the ceremony. Whiskey over Stoli, risky was the old me. The new me is relentless with the loose leaf. My Chinese fans said don't fuck with the two-piece. I'm in the mainland, kicking it like Bruce Lee. Extra avocado, California roll suits me. Cuss the shade time while I'm twisting up a Lucy. Give me DOS effects, yes, I remember Lucy.
Doing this thing of ours, it's power in numbers. The fam of the hour, hats off for Black Flowers. The sun, moon, and stars, but the power is amongst us. The fam of the hour, hats off for Black Flowers.
You know it's, you know, all it's business all when I'm sipping on Guinness. Ain't no child's play, and I recommend it for beginners. Chef is shit up, I ain't talking frozen dinners. Rest of dope, keep a swole, I roll with breadwinners. Let me bear witness to the scene of unseen. Halo on the heads, but the thoughts unclean. I'm giving free shots just like a vaccine. Chicken and the egg, or is it man and machine? I stand with the beam, burn grams with the team. It's hard to be sane with C-SPAN on the screen. Me and the fam, counting grams in between. At the round table with the yams and the greens. Thinking of a plan to expand overseas. A command got the brand, so I ran with the dream. I ain't sipping lean. Skinny jeans, not me. Still fresh in the flesh. No tricks and no schemes.
Doing this thing of ours, it's power in numbers. The fam of the hour, hats off for Black Flowers. The sun, moon, and stars, but the power is amongst us. The fam of the hour, hats off for Black Flowers.
Blumen oder Kredit? Überfällig. An die schwarze Familie. Der Pionier von allem in Wirklichkeit.
What up, y'all? This is Acrobatic. You know, I possess the inhuman capabilities, and right now I'm dropping the Infinite Banter with my homeboy DJ Soundwave. Check him out, y'all.
You're tuned into the Infinite Banter Podcast. I am DJ Soundwave, and right now I'm joined by a guest who's been on the show before. We featured his album last year, DA to the G. He's got a new album out right now called Black Flowers. Welcome back to the Infinite Banter Podcast, the one and only Dagga. What's up, man?
What's up? What's up? Yo, yeah. Peace, Soundwave, man.
Man.
Thanks for having me, brother. I know it's early, but, you know, right? It don't matter, man.
That's when the flowers are growing, man. That's when we're going to keep it the theme. That's right, man. I got to ask you, man, because like last year when I had you on, you know, DA to the G had just dropped, and that was the big album you had for 2021. Yep. Now this one, Black Flowers, was this something you had in mind back then? Like, what was the concept and just like the time frame as of when this album was something you were thinking you might do?
Yeah, so honestly, as you probably remember with the DA to the G, man, it took us a while to put that out just because of hard drives crashing and just stuff. So it took us longer than...
Yeah, I remember that story, man. That's crazy.
So, and then the vinyl took forever to get here. So right. It was just, everything was just prolonged. So I was itching to just make new music, man. I felt like I was sitting on that album for so long. I just wanted to make new music. So I immediately started writing. I would say once I got the vinyl, the DA to the G, I just started writing just because I'm a writer and I like to write. Not necessarily thinking about putting an album together, but this is when the pandemic has started.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It turned into like one song, and then it turned into 2-3 songs, and then my kids got involved, and then kind of put a concept together, and yeah, I finished the album by the end of the same year I put out DA to the G. I think it was done by like November, December, and then we just spent the first few months of 2022 mixing and mastering it. So yeah, man, it was a quick turnaround, but it was just something that I needed to get out.
Obviously, anybody listening, you'll find out for sure. But real quick, DA to the G, I mean, I got that vinyl, and just mad salute, one of my favorite albums of last year. And can people still get that album? I don't want to sleep on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still available. It's been available mostly through the Traffic distribution group. But if you go to dagger.com or you guys hit me up directly, I also have, you know, a modest amount of copies left. So there, yeah, please reach out.
There it is. And everybody listen, definitely check out that album. Real banger, of course. And then so there's the idea of it, the time frame when this album was being made, and the idea of it, and of course when it was released on Juneteenth, man, talk about the idea of having it come out on that day and just giving it more of like a backbone for like what it means and like just the message you're trying to deliver with this one.
Right. I'm glad you caught that, man.
Yeah.
I just, you know, the last few years, not even talking about COVID, it's just been real, real polarizing. Yeah. You know what I mean? For this country, man. As far as like race relations and Black Lives Matter and police brutality and blah, blah, blah. So I just wanted something to kind of just pay homage to, you know, groups of people that have been historically just marginalized and discredited, and mostly Black people. So I kind of took inspiration from my own family, because we were just locked in a house.
Right.
And all we had was each other.
Right.
And it brought a little bit more perspective as far as, you know, the importance of family, and the importance of just leaving like a good legacy. So that's really what this is about. Just something that can make, can make my kids feel good when they hear it years from now. Could be celebrated on Juneteenth, but it really could be celebrated on any day. And it's not necessarily like a black or white thing. It's more of a conceptual thing.
But, right.
But yeah, it just means a lot to me, man.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, quarantine was like, you know, the time of, like for me and my wife, we were home for like almost 3 months, you know. So it's like that time where you just like, you realize how much you either like each other or you don't like each other. You know what I mean? And the only difference in me is that I'm not recording an album, so I can't turn to her like, hey, I need some vocals.
Right.
You know, I can't go to the studio. I can't go get the person who normally sings on this track. See what you could do with this, you know, but right. For you, that's awesome. Like, you're just looking around in the house like, okay, I got you on this one. You want to do this? You want to do the cover art? Talk about just the idea of like how you guys all came together. Like, were you kind of planning like you're going to do with this? You're going to be on this song and you could do this? Or how did that all? Cause that seems like, as cool as it is that it's everybody in your own house and your family, but like how you divvy up who's on what song and who does what. That sounds like that could be just because it's family and everybody wants to get in on it. And I don't know how that works.
It got testy, man. Yeah. It definitely tested me at times. So a little backstory is my wife, you know, we were in a band together called Project Tree years ago. So I've always known that she has like an amazing voice. We've performed together. Like, you know, it's always been a dream. And she's been on like tracks before on different projects of mine. So we always kind of wanted to do an album together. But it wasn't until I was recording POV and I had one of my twins. I have 5-year-old twins, but one of them was in the studio. Her name was Courtney. And she just would not stop singing the chorus.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was like, I was just like, damn, like she was hitting all the notes. It was just like, I wasn't even aware that she was paying attention like that. You know, she's just always hanging around the studio and she got a xylophone. She started singing. I was just like, you want to record that?
There it is.
And then we recorded it and it came out amazing. And then the other twin, Kennedy, of course, because her sister was on the track, she had to get on the track.
Right.
So we had to figure that out. And then my wife was just like, well, what am I going to get on?
Right. I'm the one who's been singing with you before.
Right.
This ain't
right.
American Idol. I got a tryout for this.
Exactly. But yeah, it came together. It was real kind of organic, man. It was no pressure. We tried things that didn't work. I think we did a good job of equally
easily
distributing the
yeah, love. Man. Everybody but the dog got in on this one. Unless you don't have a dog, I don't know.
Nah, I don't have a dog, but we have some other pets that
there you go
didn't get featured. So
the next album.
Yeah.
I didn't know the fish could do that. Oh man, let's put it on this one. Salute, fish. All right, that's crazy because it's like, yeah, your wife already has, so you already know what she's capable of doing, and then that's your daughter must have just blown you away. And I have a 3-year-old daughter, so if she just started, she does sing, but if she starts singing like on that level, I'd just be like, that mind blown emoji would be popping up in my head. Like, okay,
right.
Wow, there's something here. So that had to be pretty cool for you to know that, okay, we could do something with all this and come up with an album with all these tracks and make it all work. And yeah. Big, big salute, man, because you guys really made this come together. And it didn't sound like if I didn't know it was your family, I would just be like, oh, yeah, he's got a singer on here. And, oh, dude, he sampled a kid's voice. Like, you know, I would never have thought without knowing the background that this is actually your family. That's just crazy, man. It's like the Jacksons in there or something. It was like famous families of talent, man. That's pretty crazy.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm excited. You know, when this pandemic also first started, Courtney was diagnosed with autism. She's on the spectrum and shit. So there was a lot of additional support we had to get her with, like, speech and, like, you know, just behavioral stuff. So that's why it was even more it just felt so right, man. When she just started singing, I was just like, yo, are you serious right now?
Right.
Like the power of just music and just being together and just... I don't know, man. It was definitely something special. So
yeah, that speaks, you know, multitudes of what it's important there is that, you know, like you said, what she's going through now, but be able to have that to kind of get her mind off of that and to get her to have something that she could be excited about. I have to imagine that helps her just kind of going forward and hopefully, you know, dealing with that. Yeah.
It's amazing. We'll be in the car and Kennedy will be like, can you put on Courtney's song? And Courtney will be like, can you put on Kennedy's song?
Oh, there it is. I thought you'd say Courtney wanted to hear Courtney's song as well. Like, she's like, yeah, let's play my song. Like, that's
so
great.
It's awesome, man. They have so much pride and just
man
genuine joy.
That's
when they hear themselves. So.
And that goes back to what you said. This is about family. This is really like the meat and bones of this album is just about, you know, the family. Specifically the Black family, but for you, like obviously your family and what it means to you and the support they're giving you by being on this album. And that's great.
Yes.
I mean, I can't even imagine like the track Inner G, when I heard the sing on there, I'm like, man, who's that? Like, wait a minute. Oh, that's right. That's right. The note said that his family's on here. Is that his wife? Like, damn, she's got a little Erykah Badu steez. I like this.
Yes, sir.
Man. Man.
Oh, she's going to love that you said that.
Oh, good. Okay. And I don't want to say that as in like, oh, she sounds just like her. I'm just like, that's kind of the vibe I got when I was hearing her singing that track. I was like, man, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. That's your house? Man.
Yeah.
Dude, if I tried to sing something, it would shut it off and you'd that's enough of this dude. Go back to, you know, UPS or whatever, like Biggie would say.
Right.
But talk about, you know, that track, you know, that's a real good song on here, of course, and getting her to sing that hook and everything. That was just really amazing, that track.
Yeah, man. So I got that beat from Insight. You know, I haven't rocked over an Insight beat. It's been some time now, but he had emailed me or texted me a couple of beats, some new beats, a new batch that he was working on. And I had wrote the lyrics for it, but I didn't have a chorus. And my wife was just like, yo, let me play with that. Like, you know, so she actually wrote the chorus, you know, knowing that I think by this time we kind of already
had the concept of Black Flowers, and she kind of wanted it to be like uplifting and something like, yeah, we've been out the house, but now it's time to get up and get moving. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, as a people, we need to get up and unify, just that type of vibe. So when she wrote that that hook and then she laid it, I was just like, this is a banger right here. This is perfect. So
it's almost like a duet. I mean, because she, you know, her hook is more, it feels like more than a hook. Like, there's actually a lot of, a lot of vocals to it. So it kind of feels like you're kind of doing your own version of, like, I don't know, Marvin Gaye and or something like that. With
oh, I love it.
Yeah, man.
You just gave me an idea for a video.
Tammy Terrell. I'm trying to think of some combos that you could throw out there. That's crazy, man. Yeah, like, that song really hits, man. And it's early on in the album, and you kind of get the feel for this. Like, okay, this is where we're going with this. There's some real soul to this. There's a meaning behind it. And yeah, man, big salute for it. And the title track, Black Flowers, dude. I mean, being a hip-hop head, I mean, that's the one that really gravitated to me. And, of course, the video, and you're referencing Dos Effects at Lucy's and making me forget that. I haven't had a Guinness in, like, 2 years. So it's like, man, because that used to be my joint, man. But I don't drink that much anymore because I'm in the house, like you see, like we all are. But talk about that one. That's the lead single, right? And that's the main track that everybody's been hearing.
And that was another Insight beat. Those are the two beats that Insight contributed to the album. That joint was just hard, man. Again, when he sent me those two beats, I turned them around pretty quickly. And I didn't have a chorus for the Black Flowers. But once the album was coming together, I was just like, man, this got to be like the title track.
Right.
It just feels like it's hard. It just has a different type of swing, type of vibe to it. But yeah, I came up with that chorus. It just seemed to fit right. And then the visuals behind it, I think, definitely helped kind of solidify.
Yeah, the video is crazy.
What I was trying to accomplish with that one. But yeah, man, it's easy. I shouldn't say it's easy, but when you have such dope producers that, like, they, it just makes your job a little bit easier. And yeah, so I just appreciate Insight, B-Leafs, Kane Major, Timepiece. I got a lot of dope producers. You know, and this is my first time veering away from DJ Riddle.
I was going to say, he's not on here at all, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we're still doing work, but I'm in a real productive mode right now. I got two more projects I'm finishing up right now. Working on some stuff with some former Electric Company cats, which is coming out real dope. And just staying busy, man.
Yeah. And that's the way to do it. And like you said, when you're in the house as much as we have been, you can't help but, you know, just have that pen and paper. Now, the only thing I would say is that that's on the flip side of that is if you're not really experiencing things, maybe it gets harder to write, you know, and I ask this to a lot of people who've been on the show before. It's like, is it harder to just kind of have your mind in a place because you're not really going out and doing things or going on vacations and all that? So you're almost like talking about things that are either happening before or in the present. I don't know if that, it sounds like you don't have any kind of writer's block, so you're good on that, but I would imagine it does get a little tough sometimes. You're not actually out experiencing things at the level you might have been 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's, I definitely, ever since I put out the album, The Divorce, I felt like my writing has always been kind of connected to my life experience.
There you go.
So, you know, whether it's therapeutic or whether it's just, mostly it's therapeutic for me. But I realized that, you know, I have an audience as well. So yeah, man, it's the last couple of years, even though we were supposed to be on lockdown, like, shit, man, we went to Florida twice.
Oh, man.
We were out. We weren't.
I remember you were going to go to Disney World or something. You guys made
it. Yeah, it got canceled. And, one of our trips got canceled. We ended up going to like a local water park.
Gotcha.
But then the year before, we went to Disney World. You know, we've been out, man. We've been doing things in a safe way, obviously.
Right.
But just doing that and that experience gave me so much stuff to think about and to write about and to contemplate about. You know, people fighting over masks and just, you know, it was a real, you know,
on the TV, the
vaccine,
right?
The vaccine shamers and the anti-vaccine, like, it was just insane. And it's still going on right now. So yeah, man, I'm drawing out the answer, but I think the life experiences are directly connected, at least to my writing, whether it's through some kind of like poetical, you know, like metaphors or whether it's just straight up, but it's still based on those life experiences.
Right. Yeah, I haven't been to Disney World before, but I remember last time you were on, the idea of like, okay, we're trying to get down there, trying to figure out this COVID stuff. How are we going to do all that? And I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you went down there because it sounded like you weren't sure at the time. So,
yo, no lines. It was awesome, man.
Yeah, you beat me to it. I went to Great America. I don't know if they have those out in the East Coast, but it's like the same things, like rides and stuff. And
it's
DC and Looney Tunes themed, but I haven't been there in like 5 years, and last time I came here, I remember I had to wait like an hour to get on this ride. Now it's like 15 minutes. I'm like, I'm kind of liking this. I know it's a little, feels like it's not the same, but I don't know. I'm kind of cool with this. I don't know.
I don't mind. Yeah.
Some of you stay home. It's fine.
I actually can't imagine going to Disney World when it's at full capacity.
Oh,
I think that is absolutely ridiculous. At least with small kids, man. It's just a lot. It's just too much ground to cover, and it's just... I feel the same way about Six Flags, man. Like, I'd rather just go to Canopy Lake. Like, give me a break.
There you go. And it was hot, and, I'm white, and I'm burned and stuff, and I hate it. I was like, I'm complaining the whole time. I'm sweating. You got a three-year-old running around. But, yeah, if I went to Disney World, I mean, I'm a Star Wars head. All I want to do is go to the Star Wars stuff and be out. Like, I don't care about anything else. So tell me that part is not crowded, and I'm good. But if it's crowded, I'm going to be upset. So,
yeah, right.
But speaking of Black Flowers, I read a quote from you that really, really caught me. You're saying that this album is my flowers to the Black family. And, we always talk about, and you always hear about, like, people saying, oh, they're flowers while they're here, give people their flowers. Talk about how you kind of took that concept and relayed it to this album and obviously the name of the album and the title track and everything. Just, it means a lot more than just, giving flowers to somebody to give them their respect. You're talking about taking it a little bit further.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I feel like recently it's become trendy just to say like, let's get this man his flowers or whatever. And I think that came from like just appreciating people while they're alive and not waiting for like, after they pass to appreciate them or to acknowledge them. So I get that. I just, for the Black family and just the history of Black people, like when I was coming up, they literally taught me that my history started with slavery. Like, they didn't go before that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's an issue.
Yeah.
It's just an issue just in a bigger scheme of things. Like, and if that's our education system, that's not right. Like, I recently took a world history class and like an art history class. And just learning about like when we were royalty, man, and kings and queens, and like that's where we come from. And like, there's a lot of art, a lot of historic art that have been destroyed, noses blown off of sculptures,
and, right.
It's that's a part of our history, but like they don't really teach that stuff. So I just wanted to give flowers to, and acknowledge like the pioneers of like civilization, because I just feel like, similar to the whole Christopher Columbus thing, like, it's like, who are we actually giving credit to? We giving credit to Columbus for finding something that already existed?
Right.
Or are we going to go further and like, just start from the truth? So I wanted to give flowers as an acknowledgement to Black people in society. At one point we weren't even, they considered us 3/5 of a person, like legally. Civil rights supposedly ended in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, but like,
look around now.
Come on, man. Like, we haven't progressed.
Anything, we're regressing, if anything.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Man. And you're right. If that's the groundwork, if you're just starting off like, okay, slavery is the first thing we talk about, then you're completely, not acknowledging everything prior to that.
Right.
And to me, that's almost like you're only saying it because you have to. It's almost like you're not even talking about anything. Because I remember when I was in college, that's when I learned the most, because I was doing my own papers and researching. You brought up Columbus, dude. The stuff I read about that motherfucker. Seriously. Blew my mind, man, because, all they teach you is, hanging out with pilgrims. They're eating some pumpkins. And then I guess shit went sideways. I don't know what happened. It's like they didn't tell me that part.
And, right.
And now
he has his own day. It's like,
There's like statues and cities named after this dude. I went to Columbia College. Like, a lot of this stuff was like, it was like deep rooted. And then he starts to realize what it actually means, and it's like, ah, oh, all right, okay, I gotta do my own research, because apparently all this money I'm putting into school is not helping me, or the schools that, you know, you learn when you're a little kid.
Right.
This could be a whole other podcast. But this is what an album like yours does. It gets you thinking and start, you know, realizing that there's other things going on and things that people either don't know or need to pay attention to. And those flowers, like you said, give them to that. As well as, you know, hip hop has lost so many icons that, you know, definitely that phrase means a lot. You know, you think about everybody that's passed, and you almost want to make sure you don't forget the cats that are here, that have been here for a long time. And
that's right.
I just said a lot of stuff there. That wasn't even a question, but yeah, man.
Dude, you synthesized this album. This is probably like the best discussion interview I've had.
Oh, appreciate it.
And
man,
I've had a lot of them, man. So I really.
Yeah, we can talk about boom bap stuff if you want, and just get right into it. Who did the production on this one? You know, how'd you, right. You know, whatever. I could do that. We'll get into the tracks a little bit here too. But yeah, man, it definitely had a lot of thinking involved with this album, man. So definitely salute. You know, I mean, you know, I grew up on cats like Chuck and KRS and all that. So I'm always thinking, you know, when I hear an album, it always gets me to a different level when I'm doing more than just nodding my head to it. So salute, man. That was part one of my interview with Dagga talking about his album Black Flowers. Make sure you go to Dagga.com to check him out. Let's do like Turbo and Ozone and break. Do a quick sponsor read. And when we come back, we'll finish up talking to Dagga about his album Black Flowers here on the Infinite Banter podcast.
Yo, 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 this is Cassius King representing on Infinite Banter with DJ Soundwave.
Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and wanted a supplement that actually tastes great. I've been trying to stop drinking coffee and pop and needed something every morning to help kickstart the day, get a little more healthier at the same time. And I also wanted to see what the hype for Athletic Greens is all about. I've been on it for a couple weeks and I really do love it. It's great stuff. And it's kind of a tropical taste that I actually look forward to each morning. I'm excited to tell friends, family members, and now my listeners about AG1 Athletic Greens and how it has helped me to begin a healthy way to start the day. So what is it exactly? Well, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all that. And here's what's great about Athletic Greens. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting good. It supports better sleep quality, recovery, which is all key for me, being a father of a toddler. And you can't beat the price. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is recommended by professional athletes. Not to mention, Athletic Greens is a climate-neutral certified company. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/emerging. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/emerging to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
This is Shazza McKenzie, and you're listening to the Infinite Banter podcast.
Let's jump back into my interview with Dagga. Check him out at Dagga.com. You can find his new album, Black Flowers, and much, much more. We're getting ready to talk about doing shows again, doing live stage shows. And, you know, I haven't been to a concert in like 3 years. So Dagga's going to talk about getting back on the road, doing things, and much, much more. So here we go. Let's get back to talking to Dagga. Check him out at Dagga.com. The new album, Black Flowers. Let's get back to Dagga here on the Infinite Banter podcast. There was a track on here I really wanted to ask you about that really had me thinking. Loose Change. Damn, dude.
Ooh.
Talk about that one. That one really hit me a bit. And you had the interlude before it, too. So.
Yeah, so Loose Change is a B-Leafs track. You know how you have loose change, you spend some dollars, you got some cash, and at the end of the day, you may have some coins, whatever, in your pocket. What do you usually do with that stuff? You just throw it in a jar or something, or at least I do. I kind of use that as a metaphor for like how Black people have been treated in this country, just like loose change. And yeah, that's the original overall concept. And then I just kind of played with the wording, like with the hook, as far as just like the different denominations of change, you know. But yeah, man, it was, again, that the track brought it out of me. Loose Change is also, that was pretty much it. That's pretty much the concept, or at least my thought behind it.
Right. Everybody listen, just play this whole album and you'll hear what we're talking about, and definitely check out Loose Change. That's definitely one that when you're done listening to it, you're going to maybe pause the album being like thinking for a second, like, okay, I see what he's saying here. This is something. And, you know,
everything that glitters ain't gold.
There it is, man. I mean, you know, I mean, that's always, it's got to be like a balancing act with hip hop. It's talking about material things on a record, but then, of course, there's something like this that's a lot more important. So there's got to be that balance between both. And, you know, trust me, I love Jordans and Adidas and stuff, but at the end of the day, there's other things too that matter. So that's what I really appreciate about that track. I mean, it really hits you hard. And another one, and I saw you just put out a video for it, that Frosted Flakes one, man. that's crazy. And it's also in black and white, so I'm guessing that's kind of the theme, right? Just, you know, the videos that have a black and white feel to them. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, try to keep it consistent. The Frosted Flakes joint, it's kind of like an older concept that I had that I never really executed, but I used to call all them type of rappers that were like, you know, just extra with it, whether it's flashy or just the lyrics. I used to call them like corny, right? Like corn. So then that turned into like, I don't know, it was, we like children of the corn, we were like corn on the cob, and it ended up evolving into like frosted flake corn.
Corn dogs, I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know. When I got that beat from Beelys, I was just like, damn, I wonder if I could try that Frosted Flakes concept with this. But then my man Shiz, who actually is acting as my manager now and really was my right-hand man with helping me put this project together. So shout out to Shiz. But he was just like, yo, we should do a video where we just take old Tony the Tiger footage and sync it up with your lyrics. And this, I was just like, I don't know about that. But I don't know, man. I kind of like it.
It works.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. So yeah, that's a fun video, man, for anyone that hasn't peeped it yet. It's out on YouTube. I think it's pretty easy to find if you just put in Dagger Frosted Flakes.
There it is. Yeah, and it's... Yeah. It's a good breakfast song. You know, you're waking up in the morning and I don't eat Frosted Flakes anymore. I don't think I can because I'm over 40. It's probably not a good idea to be eating that stuff. I don't know, but
seriously,
but back in the day, of course, I would kill a box of that, but that's not what this song's about. It's not about cereal, guys. It's about more than that.
No. And you know, the power of marketing. So my kids were with me during that video shoot. And I decided to get like a box of Frosted Flakes from like Trader Joe's, but it didn't have the tiger on it.
What did it have instead, like a llama or something?
It was no animal. It was just a blue box with like a bowl of cereal, and it just said Frosted Flakes. So when I bring it home, my kids, they always say the line in the song, it's Frosted Flakes, kid. It's part of the hook. But I had pulled out the box, and they're like, what's that?
What's that generic crap?
Yeah, I'm like, the Frosted Flakes, kid. They're like, no, it's not. Where's the tiger?
Right, it's not blue.
But yeah, man, that whole the marketing is how they market these clown ass MCs and rappers, you know. Yes. And they market these dudes to our kids as if they're some kind of superheroes with superpowers. And then that's all the kids want, and that's all the kids want to consume. So it's a deep metaphor.
Yeah, we don't need any Toucan Sam or Lucky Charms dude or whatever. Them guys.
Oh, God. Yo, you just gave me another idea.
Man, you could do a whole...
Let's keep this going.
Yeah, man. You know, Boo Berry and, you know, all the Dig'em Smacks.
Yo, Dig'em Smacks.
Yeah, right? I think EPMD referenced them once, but that's about it. Otherwise, yeah, there's nobody talking about this stuff.
That's hot. I'm making notes right now.
Yeah, man. Corn Pops had a Porcupine or something. I'm trying to remember all the mascots that you're right. You see them on TV. It's like, oh, I want to eat that cereal now, even though it's like 99% sugar and you know, hardly anything in it. And yeah, man. Right. And he's corn rappers, like children of the corn, cereal rappers. Yeah, man. There's too many of them. That's why we need to promote albums like this one and let heads know about Black Flowers from Dagger. Yes. This is a straight banger. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Is any of those videos coming? I know you've got, like I said, Black Flowers and Frosted Flakes. You got a third one coming, maybe?
I'm working. I really want to do a video with my wife. So I'm hoping we can get something done on that energy.
Nice.
song, and I'm thinking more of a traditional type of video. So yeah, we hopefully I can get that done soon. I'm talking to a couple of different directors now about that. Just want to execute it the right way.
I was going to ask you too, like, now that your whole family is basically part of the album, have you like gone down, like, used to be like maybe the top person in the family household that was on the talent tree, and now have you gone down a couple pegs? Like, are you feeling like you're not, nobody's looking at you like the main music, you know, person in the house? Or is that, not that everybody's trying to get position. I'm not trying, you know, I don't mean it like that, but like, are there people like, you know, you're not really the main dude anymore. I could sing too. I'm number one. You're, you know, a couple runs down.
it's definitely, the internal competitiveness of, you know, of getting that airtime and stuff like that is definitely, I'm less concerned about my status now, but I'm more excited because I feel like these kids are starting so much earlier than I started.
Right.
And just getting familiar with, you know, recording and hearing their voice and, you know, starting to learn notes and stuff like that. And then my wife sings. So that's something I can't do.
You're great. I want you to try to do like a biz type version.
Nah. I mean, I could hold a note, but she could actually sing.
Sang. When she's in the house, there's no reason for you to even try. I mean, why even bother?
Exactly. So I feel like we all have different lanes, but I feel like their ceiling is there's so much more potential for them, just in regards to like their potential and what it is they want to get out of life. But it's on them. Like I always, you know, I told my wife, it's not like I make the time to come down into the studio and do what I do. So sometimes she feels like she doesn't have the time, and you know, sometimes I feel like I don't have the time either, but we just have to make the time. So
there you go.
You know, maybe it's one less target run. Or
good.
You know. Yeah, seriously.
I hate that shit, dude.
like again? Well, what do we need now?
Oh, my God. It's like, how many times I got to go to Costco? I mean, we already went like 3 days ago. I thought the whole point of Costco was you buy a lot of stuff and you don't have to go there for like a month. Why are we there three times a month? This is.
It's so funny.
I hate it. She don't listen, so it's okay. Yeah, I hate Costco. Nothing to do with the actual building. I don't want to go in there. It's like, they don't give you any bags. I got to carry everything. It's heavy. It's loose.
Kind of a nuisance, actually.
And it's never any food. It's like a bunch of just rando stuff that, you know, doesn't really make a dinner. That's not even what you were talking about. So, yeah, don't go to Target and make those albums and get the studio time. And this leads me to Trouble, that track. I feel like that's a track where everybody kind of came together. This is like the posse cut almost in a way, the family posse cut.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I think it's me, it's my wife, and it's Kennedy on there. So April and Kennedy, I don't think Courtney's on that one, but April wrote the chorus. I kind of wrote around that. And then, you know how kids are, man. I forget what it was. I don't know if it's like, I'm thinking about Different Strokes. I'm thinking about some kind of childhood sitcom where like the kid is just like, ooh, you're in trouble.
Yeah, that does sound like Different Strokes or, I don't know, Punky Brewster or something.
Punky Brewster. Oh, one of those, man. You know, April had wrote around the whole concept of, ooh, I think I'm in trouble. So I just wanted to, I asked Kennedy to say, who let the trouble in? Because she's usually the one that lets the trouble in. So I asked her to say that, and it all came together. It was dope having like my wife and my daughter in the studio, like with headphones on, and you know, listening to me ask them to do certain things, and they just do it. It was awesome, man. It just, you know, I never really
bribe them with like
that.
You know, snacks or something like I have to do, like, you know, like, if you go over here, I'll give you a juice box, like nothing like that. You know, if you do this track, that's great, man.
No, didn't have to, man.
And I think you got a sitcom idea, Trouble. I think that's just the name of it. You know, I don't think we make those kind of sitcoms anymore. It seems like they're all serious. But if you wanted to do a sitcom, you can probably come up with one with that idea, that catchphrase.
I love that.
Instead of the what you're talking about, Willis or whatever, it'll be in trouble. It could be like that one.
So you're giving me some ideas.
Yeah, or shit. Maybe you just do a sitcom album, like something like the laugh tracks, like every time you kill it on a verse or something, or like a door opens and closes, and like that's someone else coming into the track. I don't know, like a Kramer steez. I don't need any credit, man. Do it. Do your thing. And what else?
I love it, man.
We'll talk about it after. But yeah, man, it's, again, I can't gas you up enough. This album is crazy dope, man. So much into it. And the last track, Lonely Road, man, that one really kind of takes you to another level because you're a little quicker on that one and the beat feels kind of like melodic. So I like how it's kind of like a different vibe than some of the other tracks on there. It felt like there was a reason why that was the last song on there.
Yeah, I definitely the beat selection on that was intentional. It's a little bit slower, but I think it allowed me to change up the style a little bit and double up, you know, how I usually deliver my lyrics. So it appears to be slower, but there's a definite, like, more intense vibe lyrically.
Right. It might be because you're faster on it. It feels like it's slower, but it probably, you're right, it probably isn't. It just appears that way. Is that always a challenge for an MC to like kind of switch the style up? Is that sometimes like, oh, I don't know if I could do this? Like I had Cortona P on the last episode, and he did a whole song in Spanish. And I'm like, how weird is that weird for you? Or is that like, is that kind of like you're stepping out of your safe zone? Like, how about for you when you do a, you know, a verse or a song that's got a little more of a different tempo or style than you're used to doing? Is that kind of a challenge? Or is it just like, I got to do something different. I can't just do the same thing all the time? Like what's like the feeling for that when you're doing a different flow on a track?
I gravitate towards different type of beats anyway, and I, you know, a lot of my history is with like live bands and live instrumentation and stuff, so I pride myself on kind of using my voice as an instrument and, you know, freaking it depending on how the other instruments are working. So it's not really a challenge to me. I enjoy that. I feel like that's part of evolving and becoming better in writing and stuff. But yeah, and then I also, you know, Lonely Road was like, not that I'm doing this all alone, but, you know, I was definitely taking the road less traveled. And yeah, I don't know. As lonely as it feels sometimes, just having my family, you know, on this track and on this album kind of makes it feel okay. You know what I mean? It kind of makes it feel like I'm doing the right thing. So that was the vibe and the message I was trying to bring through that. But I don't think it wasn't really like, it's a challenge that I'm up for. Whenever I get a beat to try to do something unique on it or different from what I've done in the past.
And I just realized as I'm looking at the track listing, the song before that, On the Run, it's like, you know, it's kind of like the same, you know, as far as the titles go, like On the Run, Lonely Road, you know, just kind of like a similarity there. But On the Run felt more cinematic.
Yeah, definitely. That's my man Timepiece out of Australia, dope producer out of Australia, but no samples in that one, all live. Because it was all live, I felt like I wanted to do something that was like you said, like cinematic, like something that was like narrating like a story. Yeah, so that one definitely has a more of a different type of vibe, but it's I think the word you said is perfect, like cinematic.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it was out of a movie or something.
Yep, yep.
And talk about the cover art too. I mean, your oldest daughter did that, correct?
Correct, hand-drawn. She is going into her fourth year at Temple University right now. Yes, man, she's just awesome. She's my firstborn, so she wants nothing to do with singing or having her voice on anything, but the artistic piece and, you know, help with social media stuff and stuff like that. She's all over. So, yeah, man, she came up with the whole Black Lotus flower concept, and she put it in like a 3D box, and I was blown away. If anything, it brought us all closer together. We were all close already, but working on this project together was awesome. So I call her at her dorm room in Temple, and she showed me like her sketches, and
that's great, man.
You know, she was fully invested, and that's awesome. So
what's next? You guys think you might do a follow up to this? Is this kind of an idea maybe for another album, or maybe too early to even think about that kind of thing? But you might go down this road again, where all of you are involved in a project like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I record all the time. I don't necessarily record to make albums, but I have stuff. I have stuff that I've done with them, just kind of playing around and stuff. So yeah, eventually I like to do like the Black Flowers 2 or whatever I'm going to call it. Maybe when they're a little bit older and they could hold down a couple bars. Yeah, man, that's definitely something to look forward to for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And what's been the reception for the album? I'm sure a lot of fans have reached out to you, and you've probably been on different podcasts and interview shows and such. What's been the reception to the album as a whole?
The reception has been pretty awesome. I still think it's a little underneath the radar, but it seems like, you know, there's these weird indicators, like new people hitting you up on social media, or just like, you know. But I don't know. Overall, the response has been positive. I haven't seen many reviews of the album, but anything that I have seen has been like extremely, extremely positive. A lot of people are all over that Black Flowers title track.
Yeah,
I know the Beat Junkies took like 3 or 4 of them songs and are using it for their you know, for their DJ pool. So that's cool. There's definitely some love going on. I could definitely shows like this show, you know, and interviews like this help get the word out. So,
oh, for sure, man. This is like a review in a sense anyway, even if it's not in the literal form of, you know,
exactly.
Writing and all that. But yeah, definitely. You definitely was feeling this. And like I said to you at the beginning, when I saw you posting online, I'm like, I got to get back to him and see what he's on and see if he could squeeze me into his schedule, because I can't wait to talk about this album, man. It's so, so good, man. And what's next for you? Do you got something else coming out that people should be looking out for? Or?
Yeah, well, I'm putting a show together now. I need to get out and start performing, man. So promoters, get at me, please. You won't be disappointed. But yeah, I'm working on a live set now, and I'm just recording. I got a project with my buddy Jesse Gallagher, an ill project.
Oh, man.
He's a Berkeley cat, so it's very musical. It's all live music. It's pretty dope. I got something with my man Mike from the Electric Company that we're working on now. Working with Sundu. I got a couple of things. I'm working on the Masters of the Universe project with Algebra.
Oh, man. There you go.
And Black Medine. So yeah, I got a couple logs in the fire, but my main priority now is to get out and stop performing some of this material, man.
How big of a deal is that to just, because it's probably been a while since you've done that, right? Is this gonna be your first show in a long time, or have you done a couple little ones here and there since COVID?
I've done some small ones here and there, but the challenge for me now is I was predominantly rocking with like Edon and Inside and these cats, and we were able to
Boston legends, you know, right there. Yeah,
we're able to mesh together sets, so everyone's kind of doing their own thing now. So I, you know, how do I be a DJ and perform at the same time? And I, you know, that's what I'm putting thought into. I hate when cats just get on stage and just rap. to me, that's just bullshit. Like, it has to be a show.
You can do that at home, right? Or, you know, IG like, Live on, or something. Man. Yeah, I got
this
you.
Is what I'm paying to watch. Like, so, yeah, that's my challenge now, man, is trying to figure out how to make it entertaining, figuring out how to manage, you know, the music of it while I'm performing and entertaining and hopefully doing a good job. So, got some ideas. I got some creative things I'm working on. But yeah, that's pretty much been my challenge since losing DJ Rail, and like I'm just like, man, how do rappers just rap? I can't do that.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. And you just made me remember there's a show I went to a few years ago where Jay Live was, it's crazy what he's like DJing and then he's doing his song at the same time at the tables, and I knew he did that, but to see it live is just like on another level. So you're making me think of like people who step up their game on a stage show. And I know that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to do something. And would you have your whole family out there with you, you think? Or would it just be you by yourself? Or is that probably too much, I'm guessing, to have the little ones out there? But
yeah, I think for special shows, you know, for some special ones, we could bring them. Got to probably work on this stage presence. I feel like Courtney will just run the other way if she sees a bunch of people staring at her.
Right. I said I'd go in the studio with you. I didn't say I'd go on a stage with a bunch of crazy creepos, you know, and
right.
Yelling things at you. And no, they're participating. They're not yelling. It's all right. Don't worry. yeah, I can see that.
Maybe I could teach her how to do the hit the buttons on the music.
See,
I don't know. I could figure it out. But if anyone has ever seen the Edon Dagger show, you'll know. If you've seen that show, you'll know how we typically get down.
Man.
And yeah, Edon does that same thing with, like, you know, he does the juggling of the turntables while he's spitting.
That's crazy.
And we usually have little routines that we do together and stuff like that. So yeah, just trying to figure out how to do that now with 5-year-old twins and a wife.
Right. So. That might be a little tough. You might have to have like a screen behind you, like a photo album where it like turns and shows different pictures of them as you're doing a song or something. Maybe you have to do something more interactive in Slick. That regard. Yeah, man. Is anything, sure. By the way, these shows at Edan, are they on YouTube? Can I go on there and watch maybe like 5 minutes or something? Is there stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay,
absolutely,
cool.
Man. This show's all over the place. I can send you a couple of links.
Man, yeah.
Like my favorites.
I'm off today, so yeah, go ahead and do that. So I could...
Oh, where?
Right. So, yeah, what did you do all day watching YouTube? Dagga and Edan did some stuff. I was busy. I didn't go to the store. I didn't make it to Costco. I'm sorry.
Costco.
They don't contribute to the shows. Maybe I'll say something nice about them when they start throwing some money in my way. But
there you go.
But man, where can they find this Black Flowers album? And I'm assuming it's streaming everywhere. But where can they follow you and find all your work? You know, like the last album and this one and things of that nature. Bandcamp. I'm guessing maybe you have a Bandcamp. I think.
Yep, I have a Bandcamp. You know. Everything is easiest if you just check out dagga.com. It's D-A-G-H-A. I'm an artist, and this goes out to all other artists, man. Always try to align your social media pages with, like, the same name. Otherwise, you're going to be like me, and you're going to be like, oh, you can find me on Twitter at, like, oh, Dagga, oh, and you can find me on Facebook at, like, The Real Kid Dag.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do all that, but just go to dagga.com, and all the links should be there. For everything, new music, videos, everything.
Right. Yeah, that's yeah. Sometimes I have guests on here, and I don't want to single anybody out, but they'll give like 3 or 4 different handles, and I'm just like, that's a lot to follow. I don't,
right.
And I'll try to tag people when I post about the podcast, and it's like, man, I can't find you on here. Are you on Twitter? Like,
right.
Yeah, it's a completely different name because somebody stole. I'm like, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
One of those like cartoon DMers was bugging you and do some fresh art or whatever the heck they tell you in the DMs and they stay hacked your account. I got you.
They got you.
Oh, damn it. Because it's like 7 with the same kind of name. All right. Man, so that's good idea. Like you said, that's a good tip. Everybody get the same name on all of the profiles and everything and you'll be straight, man.
Right.
Wow. Man, big honor having you on, dude. You know, throwing you mad flowers for this album, Black Flowers. It's a great album, man. It's more than just some straight boom bap stuff. There's a lot to it, and definitely appreciate having you on again. And anytime you want to come back and you got something else, you always got a open mic, man. I really appreciate it, dude.
Soundwave, I very much appreciate you. This interview has been awesome. Like
oh,
I
cool,
said,
man. I'm getting good at this. Thank you.
Yeah, man. You aged well, man. This is a really dope conversation. So thank you. And thank you for all that you're doing for the culture, man.
No doubt, man. Like I think I told you last time I had Acrobatic on very early on. And I was like, man, yep. I'm just so geeked. I was just more excited about having him on. I'm like, I don't even know what to I'm so nervous. I don't ask him. He's up here to me, but no, he couldn't have been nicer, man. And it's just been great having cats like yourself on here and talk about all these great albums. Because I was telling a friend of mine, like, if it wasn't for this podcast, I wouldn't know about a lot of these albums because it's kind of put me, I'm kind of hooked in. You know what I mean? Like, I'm plugged in to seeing like some of the stuff that's out now. Because Lollapalooza's here, and I was reading the Who's There, and I'm like, I don't know any of these people. I don't know. Is Dagga there? I don't know who's. I'm not going. I don't care about any of this shit. It's like,
right.
I don't see anybody I've ever heard of on here or that I care about. The real music I'm listening to is stuff I'm like this. I'm talking to you guys. And man, I just big salute for putting out that real music. And, again, just a mad salute for this album right here. And everybody listening, go check it out. And where can they follow you on? You already said your account's on Instagram and everything, right? So,
yeah, so the Instagram is just the real Dagga.
There it is.
The real Dagga on Instagram, D-A-G-H-A.
Man, big props for this album, man. And again, thanks for coming on the show. And anytime, man, really appreciate your time, Dagga.
Thank you, man. Let's stay in touch, Mark.
No doubt. You got it, man.
All right, brother.
Man, a lot of fun talking with Dagga. Talked about a lot of serious stuff in there. Talked about his album. Talked about Serial. I was thinking about this, as I was talking to him. If I had to say my favorite, the god-awful cereal that you're not supposed to eat, the sugary bullshit that they feed kids and they have commercials for on Saturday mornings back in the day or whatever, my go-to is, because I love peanut butter, so like my go-to is always Captain Crunch peanut butter, Apple Jacks, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Those are probably my three favorites right there. And I haven't eaten any of those, I don't know, like in a decade or more. I mean, we're talking years. Now I kind of want to eat one of those. But it's bad for you. I can't eat it. We just get fat as hell. But speaking of cereal, he's got a track called Frosted Flakes. We talked about it in the interview, so this is why I'm rambling on about cereal. Let me know what kind of cereal you guys like. I eat Great Grains because it's high on fiber and tastes kind of great. Grains. So yeah, that's what I eat for cereal. I don't eat Frosted Flakes. But I used to get down with Frosted Flakes back in the day. But I get down with this track from Black Flowers from Dagga right here. Here we go. Frosted Flakes. Get a spoon. Eat it up here on the Infinite Banter Podcast. Dagga from Black Flowers. And this track is called Frosted Flakes. Let's go.
These sweetened cornflakes are beloved by children. But they're not just for kids. They're crispy and crunchy. Sweet but not too sweet, and quite close to cereal perfection when you enjoy them with cold milk. So grab a box, find a bowl, and get your day started. First of all and foremost, I post position with host of missing, dismissing through submission. Hook you like fishing to the chorus when I floor this with left feet. I used to meet the beat in the center at that street, but I'm still in a nuclei building with me, myself, in isolation. My body complete, the universal man with a natural tan. As I bend Shaitan, pass the Quran to the number nine. As I plunge the swine in the grunge and rhyme, more hype than shine, I'll illuminate in time. Just like the tip on the pyramid when I'm staring into the north and count any cipher past the burning torch, radiant blacktop asphalt. Used to liquor like malt into that old English crazy horse, the crooked eye thoughts. And now you're doing figures in the hill with Tommy and Jill. Talk about how much you real, I prescribe golden seal. Take this pill.
Portray events, blazing text directs with no effects as I combine ingredients like sunshine. I never done time, they don't plan into it. I'd rather take this baseline, grind and run through it. Fluent, artistical, mystical, invincible. When it comes to the principle, speak my words and municipals. That's the city. Where you at is what you make it. Most fake it. Frosted Flakes, kid.
More gas is the Saturn to Uranus with cheese Danish. Life for the snitching, shameless that die nameless. This one was plainest. Let's call him Amos for the record with outstanding warrants. Wearing the tightest stitch garments in the high profile. Selling crack rock like it's black stock in the act lot. Shoddy with a body in a glove with a padlock. Yapping on the cell like a. Living full house like Bob Saget. Mindset urban development, or better yet ghetto. One night his ego choked him up and couldn't let go. Had the whole crib petro. Had a bad history of sipping on a Cisco, smoking on a crystal. On top of the world, had nothing else to achieve. Ross gives some slimmies, fertilize a few seeds in the fast lane. Really breaking down just like the last rain. Or the loser in a trap game, giving yourself a bad name.
Portray events, blazing text directs with no effects as I combine ingredients like sunshine. Never done time, they don't plan to do it. I'd rather take this baseline, grind and run through it. Fluent, artistical, mystical, invincible. When it comes to the principle, speak my words and municipals. That's the city. Where you at is what you make it. Most fake it. They're Frosted Flakes, kid.
This is Music G repping the Underground Army. You're tuned in to Infinite Banter with DJ Soundwave.
Hey, when you're done listening to this podcast right here, the Infinite Banter Podcast, go check out my guys, my friends over at the Reddit on Wiki Podcast.
Oh my God, John, were you up on Wikipedia all night?
John, are you okay? You're shaking.
You guys... You will not believe what I just read on Wiki. Welcome to Reddit on Wiki, the poorly researched, semi-funny podcast on random stuff we find on the internet.
Who are you talking to?
And why are you shaking so much?
Subscribe to Reddit on Wiki on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sean, I'm scared.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
Hey, y'all, it's Lou Temple, Axel from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Infinite Banter Podcast. Keep listening. You follow me?
Time for you to leave, assholes.
That is Kirk Acevedo telling me it's time to go, and that is exactly what I'm going to do. Big shout out to Dagga. I appreciate him coming on the show. Couple quick things before I get out of here. Talked about it a little bit in the interview, how, you know, I like doing this podcast because it's introduced me to a lot of music I would not be aware of, wouldn't be familiar with. And I was telling him how, you know, I'm in the Chicago area. Lollapalooza's been here for, I don't know how long, too damn long. And they just announced they're going to be here for 10 more years. I did a post on Facebook. I think I might have pissed some people off. I basically said that I have no interest in ever going there. I wish it wasn't here. I used to work downtown. I had to deal with that crap going on the train and seeing these, like, mud people and dirty whatever people getting on the train. Like, where do they come from? And didn't realize Lollapalooza was going on because I don't go to it. You know, because I've heard of maybe, like, three acts. And they're usually, like, old acts that I've heard of. You know, like Metallica. Like, I know who they are. I don't listen to them, but I know who that is. But I don't give a damn about seeing, you know, 17 acts I'd never heard of just so I could watch Metallica and get heat stroke and stand in the mud. It's just not my thing. If it's for you, congratulations. Have fun. Enjoy that. I won't do that. The closest thing I've ever done to that, and this is probably what made me never want to do that kind of thing, is I went to Alpine Valley, which is in, you know, the Chicago area. It's an outdoor venue, and I saw the Tibet Freedom concert in 1998. So that's a Beastie Boy headline show. It was them and Run DMC headlining. So obviously that's why I was there. I remember the Roots were there. Outkast was supposed to be, but they weren't. Something happened. I don't know why, but they weren't there. I had an actual seat, but I was in the very last row. So behind me is nothing but lawn and white people. So basically when Rage Against the Machine came on, and I'll be honest, I'm not really that familiar with their stuff. I know who they are, but I didn't really listen to them that much. I had no idea that when they came on, these people had to like beat the crap out of each other, and they all start running towards the seats, and I'm like scared to death that these lunatics are going to hop the fence and get into the seat area. So it was crazy. So that kind of threw me off. Not to mention it rained that day. It was hot as hell that day. It was very uncomfortable. It's a lot of hours to be watching music. And I had a seat, okay? It's like, and I didn't want to spend $86 for water and $38 for a hot dog. It was just ridiculous. So, people do this for 4 days in Chicago to see a lot of mediocre acts and a lot of people I never heard of. Congratulations. I hope you had a great time. It's just not for me. It's not into it. I'd rather go to a venue that's got maybe 400 people in it and, you know, and I overpay for my beer there, but I have air conditioning and it's not as bad. Although those can get hot too if there's too many people in there. But I don't know. I'm just an old head. I'm sorry. I'm just shaking my cane at you guys. it's just not my thing. Not my thing. But hopefully Daga comes out to Chicago and I would definitely go check him out if he does that. But I teased at the beginning, I have a movie for the Infinite Torture segment. And it's a movie I've talked about, and I put it on the polls to vote for, and it's always lost. Frogs is available on Pluto TV. If you have Pluto TV, if you have that app, go watch it. I'm going to watch it. And I'm sure it's horrible, but I'm going to talk about it probably on the next episode. There's a teaser for you. Not probably. I'm going to go ahead and nail it down. Next episode, Frogs will be on Infinite Torture. We're going to talk about that damn movie starring Sam Elliott. The second movie I've talked about that he's in. Roadhouse was the other one. And also, real quick, Daga messaged me a video on YouTube with him and Edan. You got to check this out. It's like 51 minutes of a concert they did together, and Edan is on the tables, cutting it up, doing his MC thing, and they have a routine they do back and forth on the tables with him and Daga. It's just great. It's so damn good, and you forget what live shows are like. You don't get that at Lollapalooza. I know damn well. You get Ecstasy and Heatstroke, but you don't get two cats killing it on stage doing some real cool hip-hop shit. You don't get that. I don't think whoever was considered a hip-hop act that was there was doing something like that. That is not possible. But anyway, here we go. Thanks for checking out the show. Big up to Daga. This is the Infinite Banter Podcast. Find it on all streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Infinite Banter Podcast. Rate and review the show on all the apps and places you find podcasts. Go on YouTube, type in Infinite Banter, find clips from past guests, and do all those things. Big up for everyone for checking out the show and tweeting it. Play one more track from Daga. This is from his album, DA to the G. We talked about it last year, episode 76, if you want to go back and listen to it. This here is called A Fiend. Wanted to leave you with like an older track, so go check out Black Flowers. Go check out DA to the G. Go to Daga.com. Check out all of his music. Big salute to Daga. Really appreciate his time. A lot of fun having him on here. In the next episode, I'll be talking to my guy Spirit, talking about his new album, Black Libra. So here's Daga, A Fiend, from his album, DA to the G. Big up to Daga. Thanks to everyone for checking out the show. And until I do another one of these, I'm out.
Hey, asshole, get off the road.
Hey yo, these silly ass rabbits playing tricks with kids. When I was understanding scythe, then I switched the lid. I tend to be more productive when I sit in the crib. And when the reg isn't right, then I switch the miz. I know they handle my BI, they call me Mr. Biz. I'm Marky, Sparkly, Big Bobby with jizz. And these be flocking like sheep in the pasture. Or the universe, and my first name is Master. Arms I'm getting breathing, heading to disaster. Armageddon shedding skin like a lizard rapper. Hearing lots of coulda, shoulda, woulda, yeah, I oughta. Combat's getting cast off the shells with Ricardo. Take a separate quarter, I'm staying on the front line. Eat them C's up like a bully in the lunch line. No gimmicks in my image, they vintage without the punchline. It's urgency, emergency, surgery with crunch time. Listen. Smooth buttermilk, silk, satin, salivation. Dagger stabbing cattle with a forceful penetration. Rackles in the day symbolizing rabbit nation. It's free to dream big and to have imagination. But these be addicted to habitual rituals. Take a toke, take a smoke, sip a few. Mystical, invincible, the point beyond the decimal. Is infinite and intricate, indefinite, intentional. Sing a song of sediment, a pocket full of ashes. 144,000 children of the masses. Periodic table of the elements is evidence. It's evident, irrelevant, or really quite irrelevant. Baba weave skill, King Cobra in a basket. A tisk at a task, conception's immaculate. Microphone, doing it with a R-E-A-L audio for you to bump in your cars like that, y'all. Scoliosis, serotonin, scrambling, the melanin, adrenaline's the medicine, see about the outer skeleton. Rebellion resembling the men in the reflection. Issuing authority, majority's deflection. String along a sing along a bring along a partner. Tell a friend it's televised with no teleprompter. Stay away from, and I'm calling on imposters. Bottom of the tank filled with crabs and the lobsters. Children having children, having children, be that nonsense. Killings with no feelings and no healing in the process. Cause people say they're sick of me spitting that nonsense. Choose my words carefully, I'm overly cautious. A client and the owner, sole controller of synopsis. Creativity in the field and the office. I'm grateful and I'm fortunate. And vital, keep on scorching it. I see the light of touches, like we'll never catch me forcing it.
Being on the Infinite Banter with my man Mark has been a pleasure.